God of love and light, God who journeys with us and through us and blesses us, we feel you in this space. We feel your touch, God. We feel your blessing. We praise you. Amen. In the first text that we heard today, we hear the story of Elijah and Elisha. And in this story, we hear the impending bad news that people can't wait to kind of rush up to Elisha and say, do you know that your mentor, the person who you love, who you emulate, do you know that he's going to be gone from you soon? Did you know that? And Elisha says, yes, yeah, I know. Be quiet. In the text before, in 1 Kings, there's a moment where Elijah experiences the voice of God in the quiet. And Elisha, as he is experiencing the buildup to losing his mentor, asks for quiet. And Elijah, trying to spare his protege from some of the pain of his parting, gives him some opportunities to step aside, and Elisha says, no, I am going to be with you to the end. And then Elijah has one of the more dramatic partings that we see in the text, in the Bible. And it's funny to me because it reminds me of a little personal story of when I was, you know, first figuring out who I am, and I, as we often do when we're figuring out who we are, fall madly in love with someone who we probably shouldn't, right? Am I the only one in the journey of discovery of sexuality was like, you're the person to like someone who probably wasn't, right? No, yeah, I am. I'm the only person. All right. So there was this sweet, sweet young man, and I was also just a sweet little innocent young man. And his name was Elijah. And God bless him. I have no idea where he is. This was before Facebook, so we haven't stayed in touch. And I don't know what it was about Elijah, but probably just that, you know, he looked at me and smiled, and I was, like, madly in love. Smitten. And I can't honestly remember a single, like, thing that we talked about. I just remember being completely enchanted. And the other thing that had me so enchanted was that, like, he probably didn't really want to give me a lot of attention, but I was, like, the available person who happened to be in his line of vision in the moment. And so, as I read this story many, many years later, and I think about Elijah and his parting from my life, Our romance was a long one. It lasted about 3 days, as as young gay romances often do. And then he disappeared. There was no chariot of fire taking him away. But I was completely crushed. And thank God this was before text messaging, or else there would have probably been some record somewhere of me in sad text messages. Why aren't you answering me? Instead, there are probably somewhere out in the ether emails that I wrote at the time, but that story of Elijah leaving on the chariot and Elisha being left alone, not just a story about a coming of age and for me, but think about those times in your life when you have been left alone, and young Elisha, who will take on the mantle, take on the role that his beloved Elijah has lived into, he asks for quiet. This is an end of an era for him, and it is the dawn of something new, and he is young and scared and not sure that he can take on what he is being called to. And that's kind of where we are in church. In church, we are called to be in those in-between times of unknown, where we don't know where we're going. We know that we have a pattern. We know that we come to church, we see our friends, we get some hugs. But where are we? Where are we going? What are we doing? In Elisha's call for silence, he is asking us today also to listen. And Elijah, the shaper of the silence, he created a place of silence in order to hear God, and Elisha longs for that. And he becomes transformed and transfigured. Today is called Transfiguration Sunday, which is another one of those things that, you know, if you didn't go to seminary or you didn't grow up in the church, you're like, okay, it's another Sunday. For some reason, it's black. It's backwards. There we go. For some reason, the stole is white. It is white today. And perhaps that has some meaning. What it means is that Lent is starting this week. Again, for many people, that is like, okay, whatever. For Valentine's Day this year, it is Ash Wednesday, so we are going to meditate on our mortality, as many of us do on Valentine's Day. But what we are encouraged to do in the the ebb and the flow of the seasons, it's not just about what color stole we're going to wear this week or next week. It's about who we are and these words that we take on in worship, these songs that we sing, that our choir so beautifully sings, the meaning that they have. It is about taking those words into our bodies in those moments of silence and in those moments of shouting and praise as well. What does transformation look like? We think of transformation in those big, dramatic moments, Elijah and the fire going up into the sky. But transformation is also in those still, small, quiet moments in our hearts. Worship, the act of worship, the act of praising God in community, prepares our hearts, but prepares our hearts for what? Sometimes we don't know. Sometimes it's the pattern of what we do, and that's okay. And sometimes we are so on point and we know exactly where we're headed. And often when we are on point and we know exactly where we're headed, God takes us some other direction, right? The loss of Elijah could have disfigured Elisha's journey, could have made Elisha unable to move forward, but instead he is transfigured. Instead, he is called to wholeness. So today on Transfiguration Sunday, we also hear another story of Elijah. In this story from Mark, Elijah and Moses appear. And here's a complicated thing about Transfiguration Sunday, which almost always falls during Black History Month. The way that this story is so often told is that Jesus is transfigured and is what? Made white. And that is not even how it is written exactly. There is a glowing white light. His clothes are made white, and you hear it again and again, and it's often repeated as, and then Jesus was made white. And once again, just like, remember last week when I got mad that the story has been told and retold incorrectly in order to tell women to get in the kitchen because that's how women serve? This makes me so mad because people are told that Jesus got holy and Jesus was made white. It's not about the color of Jesus' skin. It is about the glowing brightness, made bright, made into brightness And so often, these words in which the voice of God is heard, saying, "This is my son, my beloved, listen to him," have been lived in the bodies of our communities in a different way. Lived in the bodies where some voices are listened to. And in our churches, we are taught again and again that certain people have a voice that should be listened to. But we will not perpetuate silencing of some. We will not perpetuate the idea that white bodies have more value, white voices have more value, because that is not what the story is actually about. Jesus, by the way, not white, like, we'll have a geography lesson at some point and talk about how we know that to be an absolute, without a doubt, fact. If Jesus in these stories was walking around and was white, there would be a lot of stories about what is wrong with this person's skin, because he would not be recognizable to the people of this place at this time. Jesus is lifted up and is blessed by God, just like at the baptism when he is blessed by God and God says, "This is my son, my beloved." God says, "Listen to him." Because Jesus also transfigured and transformed and has a message to share. Not a message of oppression, not a message of validating those who are in power, but instead a message that is for us in this space today. That anyone who has felt left out, anyone who has felt excluded, anyone who has felt like they are not worthy, people need to listen to Christ and hear that you belong. The texts that have been used for oppression, texts that have been used to validate putting down women, texts that have been used to validate slavery, texts that have been used and misused to say that the way that we love is bad, those texts can be transformed. We can own these texts. We can live these texts. We can let worship and the words of these texts live into our bodies and our beings. We can embody Christ's spirit in this world, and we are called by God to do that. We are called by God to be transformed and to transform others. We know that we live in a place of oppression, right? We live with that reality. And I know that it's hard to hear about, it's hard to think about. Sometimes we want to escape it. But as long as we continue to speak truth to power, that is where we have that hope of transformation. We have that hope that we can switch things around, we can change things up, we can make this world a better place. We really do have that power. As God looks at Jesus and says, "This is my son, my child, my blessed one. I am so proud of him. Listen to him." God also looks at each of us and says, "You are my child. You deserve to be heard." And sometimes things don't go the way that we want them to, right? Let's remember Elijah, not the blessed story of Elijah from this Bible, but the sad little story of Elijah from young Jacob's life. Things didn't go how I wanted them to. And like I said, I don't know where he is. I hope he's well. But wow, what a blessing I got instead. When I stepped aside from the plan that I told God that I wanted and ended up in the life that God called me to. And each of you on your own journeys, as you have a chance, feel free to wallow in the frustration and the anger when things don't go as you want. Feel free to get mad and to scream and to kick and to stomp your feet. And then, when you are done, you pick up that mantle like Elisha took on Elijah's mantle. and you step forward into what God is calling you to do, because we are called to be transformed and transfigured as a people. Amen.